pursuit of conversation is supported by the generous donations of Rollo, Susie, Henrik, and Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the support link.
What's the show called? Let me have a look here. Be Told. What kind of show name is that? Sons of bitches. And they haven't even paid me for the last time I came on here. Anyway, let's have a look here. The show is Be Told number 59. Is that right? What's this goddamn date here on this goddamn calendar? It is, this is 25th of March 2026. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that introduction from whoever that is. Underworld character that's roaming around, obviously, in the Truth Meets Studios. The Truth Meets Studios, which are up the Blue Mountains and over, kind of. Be Told episode number, I think it's 59. Would that be right? I'll have to check later. This is the unprofessionalist. The clinking, drinking, slurping, bird chirping, et cetera show on, Be Told. We're getting some of the best information ever, guaranteed. Guaranteed. And I have to share, there's some great listeners out there. I'm talking about some people that I hold up very highly that I know listen to the show. So you know who you are in various places around the world, especially in Jan Erik. Fantastic to know you're listening, and it's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. And I hope to catch up one day and I get over there. Am I buzzing? If I am, just imagine it's a bee buzzing around me, or a fly, because that's what it sounds like in Australia if you were to be attacked by a bee or a fly. Mainly flies, actually. Mainly flies. Blip, 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 blip. So, yeah, so now diesel, $3.20 something or other today. And this completely engineered scarcity that we're going through in Australia. The coming food crisis, et cetera, completely engineered and prepared over the last, I would say, 6 years. Do you remember in COVID era, mysterious fires of meat processing plants, et cetera, et cetera? You also get mysterious fires of oil processing plants. And all sorts of, look at those, can you hear those beautiful birds in the background? I have to be quiet for a bit. I think they might be I don't know what they're called, but they make beautiful sound, they whistle. And I've got a beautiful magpie sitting down, just coming down to see me. Fantastic. But, and yeah, those Indian miners, they're still around. I'm telling you, apparently you can get a device, a cage thing that attracts them, traps them. And then somehow you have to euthanize them. I don't know what you use. Just go there and bash them over the head with something or other. But once you catch them, I don't know what you're meant to do with them. And I won't be releasing them, I can promise you now, if I get one, because they have started invading around my area. I talked about it on the last Bong Station, Be Told show, which was, what night was it? I think it was Sunday night. I've only just done one. This is 3 days later. But because we're moving very rapidly into this new, the new world order, rapidly, like you would not believe, again, it's false shortages, especially in Australia and New Zealand. These are countries that we could have grown the entire world's food 5 to 10 times over in the 50s. I'm not joking here. But bit by bit, this is how, and I'll tell you some of the tricks how they did it. By importing and flooding the country full of, what do you call them, migrants, including people like me. I just came over here. I wasn't enticed by anything else. But anyway, then the cities get too full and they start spreading out a little bit. And so areas like not far from me, the Port Macquarie area, all these beautiful orchards and farmland, same in where I'm from in New Zealand, they inflate the prices of the cities. The people in the cities all decide to retire and move out, or they buy investment properties. And then you get areas like where I am, which is completely full of over 55s and retirement places. And I'm talking about major amounts of them. And they're American owned, a lot of them, I just found out. Yes, they are. Beautiful beer. Cheap, though. I've had to drop my standards slightly. I'm not even sure where it's made, and God knows what's in it, but it's it tastes fizzy at the moment. Yeah, so they've done this, and a job I did last year for a lady, she was explaining to me that she's got huge amounts of land on her block, and she offered it. This is in a town not far from me. to the council and said, you know, can build units on that and rather than destroy all these farms that you're knocking over. And they said, no, we're not interested in your land. She had like perfect land for building on, but it was not farmland. And what they're doing is destroying the farms. They're offered, this happened 10, 15 years ago through this climate scam from the United Nations. They offered property owners this thing called carbon farms. So basically all this land, it was beautiful green farmland that the cows had pooped on, etc., and the sheep for the last 200 years. It was rolling green land. You were paid $150,000 a year to plant trees on that land, to re-tree it. Is that the word for it? Re-tree it. This is just criminal, what they've done. And now, so of course, they can kind of pretend that there's a food shortage, even though people like me, like, you know, large block of land, native birds pecking away in the back and a cat roaming out there, which is a bit dangerous for them, I just can't be bothered. I'm not green-fingered. Is that what you meant? Green? Yeah. My father is. He can just do, on a block of, little tiny block of land where he's living with this thing that he married, he has dug with his, you know, and he went out there in his 80s with a great big, a big iron bar and smashed this really thick clay soil, which is good for nothing, and fertilized it. And then he's growing the biggest cabbages and pumpkins and things you've ever seen in your life. And a very small block, enough, you know, for 10 families probably. Unfortunately, it's a lot further away than I am. Otherwise, I'm still buying vegetables at the supermarket. And this is a fact, though. You just need to get out there and do it. And I'm incredibly lazy. Sorry. Yeah, I mean, I do work hard. But when it comes to ice noises, I'm so unprofessional. When it comes to actually getting out there and planting and, you know, putting up shade cloth and stuff to protect from the birds, which can come around, peck and eat your seedlings a lot here. I can't be bothered doing it, but this is an engineered food crisis that's coming. And the reason why I'm saying this is that the imbeciles in charge, and I'm talking about the idiot, you know, Australia, Anthony Albanese, and Chris Minns and all these other fuckwits that they've got in charge are coming out and warning of food shortages and diesel shortages and food, you know, and issues. Now, this is just like COVID when you had that hideous Pee Wee Herman Armenian born, another one. I keep going on about there's always Armenians around. There shouldn't be. 0.6, or is it 0.6 of the earth are Armenian. They are everywhere. Everywhere. There's a there. What's her name? I can't even remember her name. I could just call it Pee Wee Herman because that's exactly what she looked like. She came out and she let's just say this. She's, you know that saying, a few pet sandwiches short of a picnic? She is a whole fucking basket short of a picnic. Not a few sandwiches. Gladys, I'll just call her Gladys, with the most ridiculous surname ever. She came out and said, and her, you know, she's up there with Albanese or down there with imbecility, as far as I'm concerned, and started talking about the coming dark winter. And if you went back onto the media, those people that, you know, sampled all the different medias around the world, I guarantee you'll be able to find at least 50 or 60 leaders globally all saying dark winter, dark winter, dark winter. A military term, military operation. Now, we're going into one for sure, but completely engineered. And I'm talking about especially here. Now, if you're in Canada, America, and it's not in California, you're listening to Beethoven.
No matter what your age, you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Thank you very much on the Be Told Show on the Wednesday. The whatever I said the date was, 25th, I think. 25th. Why am I here and not on driving to the Winnies, Sydney? It's because I'm getting the Feral Express train tomorrow afternoon, where I'll probably encounter more imbeciles like I did the last time. But it's quite interesting, and I'll be reporting. You'll be getting an imbecile report on Saturday night on the Rick and Rollo show, I guarantee you, or on the Sunday night Be Told show, which is a new regular thing now. Sunday night Be Told. It's Sunday around 7-ish at my time, 6-ish, after I've done it. If I do, I'm not sure we're doing another one this week, but after a conversation was around 5, finishes at 6. Yeah, around 6, 7 o'clock my time. If you want to listen in, listen in. If you're a very interesting person and hasn't spoken before, you can pop in. You can pop in. I mean, you can just stay muted till I say I'll introduce you, but you can. There's no problem there. Particularly if you're female. Females always sound way better on a show that I'm on and a show that me and Roller are on. And we may have one pop in, but maybe just be listening, but a great new listener from just down the road from me. Well, 35 minutes away at 100 kilometres now. You know, she sent me an email saying, yes, she totally agreed with everything I was talking about the other day. We were talking about regional areas being targeted, and that is what's happening. And you're going to see this happening in America too. It'll be those areas that are not on that global map that they set up. Or it's not global. It's an America, a map of the future America, where they have these super city kind of areas. Denver, obviously, is one of them. Parts of California. New York, probably. But there are areas that are just not going to be part of that thing, that you're going to have to get your horse and cart and be, a survivalist for sure. Just like it said, just remember the book Brave New World. See if you can find that book and read that book. So I think you'll get a lot of the future. We've got those, the outsider people that were kept not inbred, like the city people were actually literally fed crap and they were just useless eaters. And they deliberately allowed people to live off out the grid so they could breed with them possibly. I'm not sure. I haven't actually studied that book like I have with George Orwell's 1984. And again, did I get any credit for pointing out that George Orwell lifted a bit, if not quite a bit, off We Shall Not Cease by Archibald Baxter, who was published by Orwell's publisher? No one cares about some of the stuff I come up with. Even though it went on to a bigger show, biggish show, you know, I talked about it. No one's ever said, or I've never heard anyone, why would a humble cleaner, painter, worker bee, you know, basically an ant, come out with stuff that some of these literary giants like Christopher Hitchens and all those other people have written books about George Orwell never brought that up.
Hmm? Answer me that.
I find it very hard to believe, but no, I've pointed out that there's at least a page or two of Archibald Baxter's We Shall Not Cease in 1984. He says, having a puff on one of those cigarettes, go out as soon as you put it down, fantastic. So five a day, possibly, if I just have one big puff and then put it down. No way would I smoke those tailor-made cigarettes that you see. Film wankers. And I'll talk about film wankers and how do you spot one. And what are they? That's a term mainly used in New Zealand, but it should be used in Australia as well. These are people that are working on a film. They're not good looking or enough or talented enough to be an actor or a producer or whatever, but they're doing semi-important jobs. And including one was working for the company I was working for, and he did not like me because I think my old boss had died and his wife thought maybe I'd be interested in taking over and help run things with her. But I just did not have any ambitions for working in the film industry and dealing with these fuckwits. And I just turned up and did my job and went home again. But what you get, how you spot one, they wear cowboy hats. Straw hats, old battered straw hats. I don't know where they find them. They artificially make them look older. They will smoke Marlboro, guaranteed, every single time. Somehow they've always thought that, you know, they must have seen back in their day or whatever, you know, the Hollywood stars all smoke Marlboro. Or the cowboy Marlboro man smoked Marlboro. And they always smoke them. I work with these people. They think they always have sunglasses. They have huge, bigger egos than the lead actors. Yes, they did. And I couldn't stand them. And I had to deal with one or two back in the day. They're everywhere. And they always have to smoke Marlboro cigarettes. Now, I would not smoke a Marlboro cigarette if you paid me. Mainly because you found out years later that polonium, which is definitely a toxin out there, is in most tailor-made. I call it tailor-made. It's not it's like what I have is like just tobacco. And I get papers, literally, what are they called? They're called hemp, made of hemp, if I can find them. These things, and including in the filter, are literally full of toxins. And it's definitely not good for you to chain smoke. I'll just say that. So warning out there for anyone, do not copy off me. Not that I chain smoke. I just had a couple of puffs then, but not today. I went to the beach today. The beach, honestly, I am living in paradise. This is autumn, halfway through autumn, close to our dark winter. It was at least 28, nearly, it must have been close to 30 degrees. The beach was half empty. There was of course, like the spot as I walked there, me and my son went there. We went to the rock pools, which is incredible rock pools, full of amazing little things zooming around, including the blue-ringed octopus that you do not want to stand on. You do not want to stand on. I've never seen one, but they're in there apparently. I saw someone filmed one the other day not far from here. And these things glow bright blue when you touch them. They get annoyed and apparently it's one of the most painful stings ever. A lot of people have heart attacks when they get stung by them. It's not the toxin, it's the actual pain. Ugh, that's Australia for you. Anyway, I was walking through the beach looking down. There's a couple of girls, you know, when I say girls, these would be in their 30s, wearing G-strings and so tanned that I say coffee-coloured. They're blonde-headed and they were coffee-coloured like you see in the middle of summer. So that's the kind of thing you can do in Australia in our autumns. And to be honest, a few days of the year, in the middle of winter, you can probably do the same thing if you get a sheltered spot. There's no cold winds blowing. This is paradise, apart from, again, the sharks, the snakes, the blue-ringed octopus, that jellyfish, and redbacks, hunts, the funnel webs. What else? That's about it, really, that annoy me the most, that concern me. Oh, but the snake. Forget about the snakes. Apart from all of that, it's absolute paradise. Guaranteed.
Yes.
Anyway, so this engineered scam that's going to happen in Australia, where they're going to convince, this is what I'm saying, when people go, oh, that's Fairport, the heads of the government are telling people to basically to start panic buying. This is the same as COVID, you know, where you had these idiots come out and, you know, say, you need to get vaccinated, you know, and pretended to get one themselves. And I think Gladys did a fake one and it got caught out on TV where the guy literally never pushed on the needle and she got said, oh no, but I'd had one before, but I just had to do it on TV. She never had one. No. Neither did any of these politicians. And I'll tell you that again, the most evil to me of the lot looking was that Kerry woman with the satanic, you know, the witchcraft name. And Dan Andrews, look at their eyes. The eyes are the mirror of the soul. Look at these people's eyes. That guy, and you saw it in England, of course, with that, you know, that guy literally crying with laughter as William Shakespeare. Yes, that was the one. That was his name. William Shakespeare shot up the first COVID shot and he died about a month later. What was his name, that guy? He was giggling, literally laughing. And they said, oh, so you're obviously so upset that you're crying. And he would go, oh, that's right, I'm so upset. But he was laughing his head off watching this thing happen. These people are demons. Sorry. Anyone that doesn't believe in them, and you've heard me being pro-fairy, there's fairies out there. I listened to an amazing thing the other day, and I was watching these guys' eyes. They were New Guinean tribesmen. And this guy was saying, so you're saying, he was interviewing them. This is an old interview, that there are little people in the bush. And the old guy was saying, yep. And the younger guys were sitting around. And when I say younger, they're in their 40s probably. The chief was saying, yeah, they're out there. And he said, what can they do to you? He goes, they kill you. And he said, that's one there. And he showed up the little statue that he had in the hut of this green, little green goblin looking creature. Look, no tribal elder in any good tribe knocks this kind of stuff about. And there are little demons and creatures and imps and whatever around. And this is interesting because it's going to fit exactly into what I want to talk about. Speaking of fairies and moons and things like that. I think you would have heard me if you've listened to any of these shows. The new listeners wouldn't have, but older people would know that I've talked about the book that my mother used to read to us as kids in the 1950s. The books that she had when she was a little girl in the 40s, The Magic Faraway Tree by Enid Blyton. There's a whole series of them. There's about five, I think, or four. Folk of the Faraway Tree, The Return of the Faraway Tree, blah, blah, blah. And it's about a group of four little kids on holiday at their auntie's house in England in the countryside, and they go adventuring and they discover this old, huge tree, and they climb up it and they start meeting people and creatures all the way up it. And at the very top, every chapter had a different land. And so when the tree almost went into the clouds, a different land would be up the top that would last about 2 or 3 days. I can't remember the book, reading it, it's been a long time. But if you stayed on that land and didn't get back onto the tree or whatever, you were swept off and it could take, it said, you know, thousands of years before you got back again. There was incredible amounts of lands that arrive and they'd take off. You'll probably find there's some kind of Kabbalah kind of ancient kind of myth in here, guaranteed. About trees and stuff like that, and multiverses, etc. Because it's kind of like that, you know. It is kind of like that. Anyway, I used to keep saying, why, oh why, has Peter Jackson, or a clever storyteller, film director, not put this out? Why has it been suppressed as a story? And I've always been, you know, as a conspiracy theorist, esoteric conspiracy theorist, which is a completely different thing than a, you know, a conspiracy theorist that, you know, thinks he's being radiated by Martians. I'm a esoteric conspiracy theorist where I talk about, look into these Kabbalah and ancient myths and legends and see different things that are all in common. Anyway, so there's me querying about that. And I have done it on, you know, we're now 58 episodes or 59 episodes deep into Be Told. So, and plus I've talked about this on fakeholders.com, et cetera, et cetera. Now, blow me down, they decided to release in the next week or so a big, huge budget magic faraway tree. And I just looked at what they've done to the cast. And you know what I'm talking about here with this DEI, one of Rollo's favorite things, how they destroyed Snow White. No one wants to see this shit either, you know. And what they've done on the front, of the poster, because anyone that knows the Magic Faraway Tree, you know, one of the major characters, Moonface. And he is literally a creature, a little man with a moon, a completely round moon face. Like not Humpty Dumpty, but a completely round moon face as the face of the moon, a silver or gold moon. And a little fairy that's his friend called Silky, a little, you know, nymph called Silky. Well, I'm here to say that they managed to fuck it up over and above anything I've ever seen or thought possible ever. They've managed to put Silky as this, like, basically, she's got wings on her. She's so fat that makes bumblebees look not so impossible. You know how bumblebees have got tiny wings and it's aerodynamically almost impossible for them to fly? Well, this fairy that they've employed, this, I don't know who she is. She'll be a lesbian. I shouldn't be mean, but she will be. Remember that on the South Park, make them chicks and make them gay. So Silky's this fat fairy, and Moonface is this huge, he looks like that, what's the guy off the Green Mile, that big black actor that died, Michael, what's his name? Imagine that, much darker colour, with a kind of a white crescent haircut that meant to be represented a moon. And he's got a big white beard. He is terrifying looking to the average child out there. And they've actually deliberately put in the movie. You know, I'm not right. I'm telling you now, this has got nothing to do with racism. This is, if I want to go and see Shaft with William, with the Richard Roundtree type Shaft, I do not expect a little Chinese actor playing Shaft. I want people that are meant, you know, stick with the book, stick with the original idea of the author. You know, like turning Gandalf into a woman, which will come. It'll happen. Peter Jackson was very clever. You notice that he actually completely he did not colorize the three Lord of the Rings movies. They are not meant to be, even though they managed to have a great use for the Maoris that were all, you know, as extras, as orcs, because they talk about perfect casting. They were the warlike orcs. That's, and they fitted in well there. I'll just say that. It's just ridiculous. And I will not go and see this movie. It'll just be like, I put comments on Facebook and said, Enid is spinning in her grave. You'll be able to generate energy with the cycles of her spinning. If you put on some kind of generator on the end of Enid's coffin, you'll be able to make energy out of it because she will be spinning sideways and upwards and downwards. It's pathetic. But that's what's coming. So the magic faraway tree, DEI'd. And I'm telling, so what they're doing on the poster, you can only see a moon face from behind and you just see this crescent moon. So when I saw it, I thought, oh, that's good. At least I've got, it's strange that they've made it a crescent moon instead of a full-faced moon face. But no, it's because when you see his face, he looks like Uncle Remus with a crescent on the top of his head and the same size as Michael, what's his name, from The Green Mile. A great actor who's now not around anymore. Good movie. Good movie. But forget about Magic Faraway Tree. If you're a purist like myself, guaranteed. I hope I'm not buzzing. If I've got the money, which I don't really, I don't get paid till next week, I'll get a new jack put into my phone because that's all I need. Because that's what's causing the noises. Didn't work, didn't come on the BTOL, but it happened on the Bonga station, which is very annoying. But anyway, it's all good. Now, on to the next subject. The next subject, the bees. To be or not to be. Now, they, again, engineered a bee shortage this year and last year in the North Coast, or, sorry, the whole of New South Wales, as far as I'm aware, with this not mite, M-I-T-E, that destroyed the bee crops, the bee hives, and they actually went around destroying them to exterminate this mite. It was straight out COVID level rubbish. Even though I did speak to a couple of people who said, you know, there is a mite. It's a thing. It's not fake. Because it's a parasite. It's not like a virus. It's actually a little thing you can see that apparently was bad for the poor bees. He says, making noise. I should be muted, but why not? Why not? And you're listening to Be Told.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the support link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the support link.
Truthmeets.com would like to thank our major supporters this month. Rolo, Susie, and Henrik. Thank you all.
Mm. Thank you very much. And Henrik, Rolo, Henrik, and Susie. And Klaus Schwab. Did he mention Klaus Schwab? Because I know Klaus Schwab donated. So anyway, the bees. Now, a friend of mine was saying, because I've got a pumpkin plant that grew, I just threw an old bit of pumpkin into my garden. And all of a sudden, there's this great big vine growing all over the place. Well, it's been there for like 4 or 5 months. Not a single pumpkin has grown on it. Every year, normally they do. But because no bees have pollinated it, they didn't. Now, I discovered a friend of mine, because when I say I'm not green-thumbed, I am not green-thumbed. I don't have these skills. No one taught them. My father never – it's one thing he didn't pass down. I should say to him, why didn't you teach me how to garden? I probably said no, I didn't, wasn't interested in getting my hands dirty back in the day, but it should have been forced on me. Like my ex grew up with a mother that made her do gardening. She can do anything, landscaping. Like she did the gardens here that is absolutely beautiful at the front. All hard work, you know, smashing down things, picking rocks up. She could do all that. And I could if I knew what I was doing, was pointed what to do. I just didn't, I'm not good at building gardens. No one's taught me how to do it. I did help, of course. But anyway, a friend of mine said, oh, no, you just, what you do. Now, this is, I'm going to say, this is disgusting sex talk here. If you're under the age of 30, you shouldn't be listening. But what you do to make baby pumpkins is you get the shorter flower and, just make sure no one's listening that's under the age of 30. Stick it into the bigger flower or vice versa, I'm not sure. Better make sure you look into Google this first because I could be completely wrong. I think the male's the shorter flower and the female's the longer flower, or is one of the two. And you just hand and pollinate. And I could have, because I had flowers on them, but no bees came over and hopped on them. And I was thinking, it crossed my mind, how wonderful it would have been for the planet if we'd been created, that bees created us to get pollinated us. And, you know, a bee would land on a male's head and hop on the female, and then the female would get pregnant. There'd be a lot less trouble and arguments and fighting going on in the world. And they reserved sex for having fun. But to get pollinated, you just had to have babies, had to have a bee come and fly and land on your head. That would be... You know, I just think that it'd be a lot easier. And if you didn't want to get pregnant, if you're a woman, you just walk around with a big hat on. There you go. You know, that's a solution that I have. But if in a perfect world, that's how your females get pregnant without all the messiness and arguments and whatever. You know, and just for the other bits that you've got, have fun with them without risking anything. But you could choose if the bees landed on your head or not. I don't know why I came up with that today, but that's just the way my mind's working as I'm looking at the diesel encroaching $3.25, and I have the threat again of getting on and spending 6 hours on a train where it normally takes me 3 hours, and having to listen and sit near people hacking away, coughing, and throwing up possibly on each other, as the bus did last week, as you heard on the Be Told episode number 58. Yeah, what else can we talk about? So, yeah, so you don't need bees. You can actually go and hand pollinate. I didn't know that. That's how hopeless I am. So do not listen to this show if you think I'm an expert on life. I just find these things out when I talk to other people. Yes, yes, sir. I'll check my notes. We mentioned film wankers. They are, and that is a thing. I don't care what country it is. There's always these guys, and they'll say that, again, that they're working as, say it's the guy that herds the extras to go and stand in the right spot. You always find that some guy's like the fifth assistant director, wearing a cowboy hat, smoking Marlboro, thinking that he should be more famous than the stars on the film. In his head, he thinks he is, and he's got the power of telling the extras what to do, or maybe even the security sometimes. But it didn't go well with me on a few occasions, I'll just say that. Self-pollination, engineered scarcity, blighting, we've talked about all those already. Jeez, we're running out of conversation. But this is, you know, just remember the Hunger Games movie that came out 10, 15 years ago. You can see what was getting fed into the minds of the younger people. They're kind of going to get into this as like, just like, remember what they did to change using a PLP, psycholinguistic programming, and neuro-linguistic programming, changing Big Brother from a scary thing into a good thing. And it was about Big Brother, the TV show. It's fantastic. You know, cameras everywhere. And we had to go into a room and get told what to do and get kicked out and, you know, terminated every now and then. It's kind of so obvious to me when those shows arrived, and around the early 2000s, there was an interesting story kind of ties in with this. Is one of the, on the first Australian Big Brother, there was a guy on there who got kicked out. Up, you know, he made it through the rounds, but, you know, big enough. But the first lot became semi well known because it was a new show. Now they're just these, you know, useless parasites turning up at nightclubs saying, "Don't you know who I am? I was on Big Brother, you know, I was the 15th person to get kicked out 15 years ago. Surely you remember me." Again, they're a kind of a breed of a film wanker. These are people that have got into a TV show, a reality TV show, that should never have been given 15 seconds or 15 milliseconds of fame, but they're now roaming around claiming to be semi-famous because they were on a particular thing. Now, I like that. I don't put it this way. You won't ever see me trying to name drop to get into a nightclub with whatever I ever did, just to say that one. But there are people out there doing this. Anyway, one of the guys, what was his name? Anyway, he just, they called him Donkey Boy for a reason. There was a reason for that. I think that's what he was called. Let's get his name. Anyway, he went off to, when Iraq war first broke out in 2000, after 9/11, which should be called 7/11. Just remember that. Does everyone remember aware of that? September is Sept and it's 7/11. It is not 9/11 in reality. They've lied to you about the real dates using that Gregorian calendar. But anyway, this guy went off as a protest and went to Iraq when they did, because they knew it was going to happen, but, you know, just like what's going down now, that it was a foretold thing that the Americans are going to go over and start destroying infrastructure, controlled demolition, turning Iraq, a fantastic city, into the Stone Age, which they did very successfully. Anyway, he went over there and they did, instead of So yeah, they actually sat on water towers and you know, essential structures as, you know, Australians and, you know, like people that should really upset their country if it's something they got bombed, and to try and to stop the Americans bombing these infrastructure. Well, it didn't work. But and then he went off and had a heart attack, very strange, in a nightclub in Asia somewhere, very mysterious. I should look into that and look into it more. I forget his name. I think he had a shaved head. Australian or blonde hair, I can't remember. But, you know, he's like a likable kind of guy who went and tried to be an activist, because that's what they were. Instead of this chaining yourself to a tree that used to happen with the Greenies, what the anti-war activists, which have completely dried up. You do not – have you seen an anti – well, not like they used to be. In the Vietnam era, and let's just say that. He really was an activist. He flew with a whole lot of other people to Iraq and literally sat on, was it fuel refineries? I don't think they did fuel refineries, but certainly he was on a water treatment plant that was essential for pure, clean water to go into to the Iraqians. And nothing happened for a while. Then he probably gave up, went home. And then he had a heart attack while he was overseas on his way home. Very suspicious. Very suspicious. I guarantee I'll mute for 2 seconds. And we'll be back very shortly. I am being recorded, am I? Am I going green? Yes, I am. I'll be back. Hello, Martha. What a good timing.
Morning, Rick. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay. Can you let me know if I'm making that buzzing noise too, please?
Let you know if what?
If I'm making a buzzing... It sounds like I'm getting attacked by a bee, which is very unlikely at the moment because they've killed them all. Noise. It's my... The jack on my phone is kind
a little bit. You're breaking up slightly.
See, that's what I mean. I hope I haven't been doing it all the way through the show. Is that better?
What's happening?
Is that better?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't. Let's get into it. I'll soon tell you.
Yeah, actually, I might try another pair of headphones while we're
go on
talking.
Yeah, go for it.
This will sound clear, though. Maybe I should just do this. Actually, I hope
yeah,
I
can
the whole show. I just need to turn your How do I turn your sound up? No.
I can hear you. It sounds like you're not breaking up so much.
No, I'm not, because I'm not using a
you're not using a headset. Microphone.
I should have done this earlier, actually, but never mind. Anyway, come and be interesting. How's Scotland going with the dadas going on? The doodahs?
Pretty quiet at the moment. No one's really talking about much. I know that obviously the petrol's going up, and I know, heard you talking about that Saturday or Sunday, was it, with Ab, about the all your troubles with diesel and things like that.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Other than that, no one's really saying much about it. It's in the news, but you tend to gauge what the normies are kind of talking about, don't you? You overhear conversations and things in you know, shops and pubs and, you know, at work, and no one's mentioned Iran or anything, or even, you know, the cost of things going up. So people are just getting on. I think everyone's just fatigued.
Maybe
everyone's had enough.
Maybe Scotland's not the part of this target as yet. I think they've already had enough
it
done.
It doesn't seem to be. No, it doesn't seem to be as yet. We have got an election. Elections coming up in May to obviously vote in, well, who's going to run the country. It'll probably be SNP again. So that's
the Scottish Nationalist Party.
That's his, yeah. Everyone hates them, but they still miraculously get in every year, which is always strange. But
I think what's his name, Sean Connery, was pro them back in the day.
Quite possibly. I think when the SNP were first set up, I think they were fairly well liked. But since Sturgeon and all those got in and started going on about independence, you know,
they're all aquatic, don't you? Remember, I remember them all being aquatic names, Sturgeon, which is, you know, the last thing you want to sit on if you go to the beach.
Yeah, we had sturgeon, salmon. So it's all very fishy. It's all very fishy, without a doubt. But pretty quiet here. We all know what's going on in the news, but no one's talking about it, which is a surprise, really. So
yeah, here they are. Like, if you look on social media, you're just getting the skit. And I'm talking about COVID level fear porn on food shortages. Which is how you organise a panic buy.
Of course.
Yes, and the food prices, and they've actually said, well, your food prices are going to go up a lot next week. And apparently I saw a guy roaming around in a supermarket tonight on a thing, and he's just going, what the fuck? You know, like something that was $40 has gone up to $60.
Right.
Just really outrageous. But they're doing this because they can, because remember, in a time of war, you can do whatever you like.
Yes.
And introduce rationing, which is they're all saying rationing's coming.
That'd be rationing of everything, petrol,
everything,
food.
Yeah, and everything. Get
time.
And just red meat, yeah. Any protein.
All the good stuff. Yeah. No, I don't doubt it. And I think we're on a kind of a knife edge, I suppose, for want of a better word, where it could go either way, couldn't it? We don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, apparently it could drag on. Issues with the Muslims in London, that there's a lot of fight back about the Muslim thing.
Yeah, more than likely. Is that all the gangs and stuff, is it?
There seems to be lots of, you know, stuff, you know, people sharing stuff about England, which, you know, I've been getting nonstop for the last year. We know it's a thing, and yes, they have flooded the country, but this is a targeted thing, and it's engineered riots, basically. The right wing coming around, and I mean, literally, the media is saturated with that. I'm talking about alternative media, not mainstream media.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's lots going on, isn't there? There's little bits and bobs of everything. You know, we've had the meningitis thing in a part of, you know, the south of England where I'm from, and that's kind of been a weird one. So I don't know how that's going to play.
Do you think it's encouraging more vaccines and stuff like that?
Oh, 100%. They've completely fabricated something out of nothing. And you know, some of the reports I was seeing, well, you take it with a pinch of salt, being on BBC, but there was, you know, kids, they were 18, 19, 20-year-old, you know, at university, same age as your children,
yep,
queuing up through the night for a vaccine, you know, and traveling hundreds of miles from their hometown where they've been scared into moving out of the county because they didn't want to get sick. But then they're happy to drive 200 miles back, stand in a queue for 15 hours to get an injection.
Meningitis has been a regular scare in Australia and New Zealand for a long time. You'll get, you know, some student, and it's the kissing disease. You know,
which isn't the truth at all. And that's how it's portrayed, is it? So you got all these students who are away from home for the first time who are, you know, doing what students do, and good luck to them. And all of a sudden, they're getting sick, and they blame the meningitis. You know, they don't blame all the other stuff that's going on. You know,
well, and the other thing, the HPV, which is compulsory. Like all of them, except for one day, I think I said to my son, oldest son, I said, "Don't get it," because he didn't want a needle stuck in his arm, and I said, just don't go to school, because they were very. This is the HPV, the human papilloma virus, which, you know, I mean, honestly, don't start me. But they come around. The schools do the vaccine program right now. There's always a big vaccine program going on, and if you don't fill a letter out or tell your kids just do not go to school that day, they'll go, and it's peer pressure as well. You know, oh, you're scared, are you? Oh, you're scared. Mm-hmm. Really clever manipulation of people's free thinking.
Yes. Which, and these are supposed to be university educated, you know, educated people, yeah. and they're falling for it. But they're scared. It's as simple as that. They want to go out, but they don't want to go out and catch something in inverted commas.
Scared and humiliated into doing something, yes. Because it's peer. They use peer pressure. And I remember when I was getting shot up at school, because it happened, every year they'd come around and start shooting you up. You're listening to Be Told. Be Told.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Listening to Be Told, I think 59 on the 25th of March 2026. And I've got Martha from Scotland via England, London, on the line talking about what's going on here and there. Yeah, so this school vaccine program is utilizing, again, peer pressure. But, And then the other thing, which I went through with, COVID, with literally they wanted to conform because they thought that, their crazy fathers, or which might have been the mother, when there was a because most kids at school have got a split family these days. Nearly all my kids' school friends, even though they might have been together when me and my ex split, eventually, nearly all of their parents split up. It's incredible how many relationships just got destroyed over COVID. The kids were like getting told by one of the parents, look, dad's crazy or mum's crazy, just go and do it. And their other friends would be going, well, I did it and I'm fine. And I would say, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure most of mine took it, even though my daughter was just, in New Zealand, she did it because she wanted to go to work. But everything was forced on you. And what do you call it? Is the combination of peer pressure, parental pressure, saying, look, just go and do it because, your father's mentally ill because he thinks that something didn't happen on 9/11 or whatever, whichever excuse it would be.
Yeah,
it was often but very rarely a couple were both in total lockstep, using that term, that were against the vaccine. One would be for it, one was against it, and most kids would just go with whichever parent they trust. It's usually the mother, sadly, unfortunately, and it's usually the father that's the one that's going, oh, don't bother with that, blah blah blah. Well, they do it, and the. So we got HPV and now meningitis, which is, these are the ones that they come around and do at the schools.
Yes.
The side effects of the meningitis and HPV. If you've looked into the side effects of HPV, it is just a horror story.
Yes.
Just look up side effects HPV. There are horror stories out there.
It's amazing, really. So in the space of a weekend, really, last weekend, 500, 600 young people have been injected. Two injections, because they have to get two. So they queued up for one, they have to get a booster.
It's one, yeah.
They have to get
so
two.
This, so it fits in with that, the thing with that Clow Rochet and his spike protein, when he got the Nobel Peace Prize in 1913, he said, he was killing dogs. And he killed thousands upon thousands of dogs and got the Nobel Peace Prize for doing so. But he said it won't be it could be one, it could be four, but second, but the first one may not, what won't do it, but the second and third will.
Yes.
And
so they've had two injections within, a couple of weeks. They've been given antibiotics, which are poisonous, so prophylactic antibiotics, because, they want to go out and enjoy themselves. So I'll take antibiotics just in case I catch it, inverted commas. And then you got the Easter break coming up, so they're going to go back. This is my concern, not a doom monger, but they're going to go back to where they live.
This is the Be Told show. You can be come in here dressed up as a Grim Reaper. There's no problem whatsoever.
So they don't don't live in the area, so they're going to go back to all parts of the country where they live for the Easter break, which would be 2 or 3 weeks. They're going to could become sick because they've been injected with goodness knows what and been on goodness strong antibiotics what. For a week. Yeah. And then it's going to spread around the country.
Yeah.
All through.
Which if you look at, again, all the predictions by the good people out there have said the big cull will be 2026. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And while war's going on, they could actually say, they could do the World War One trick and say, insert name of Iran's leader at the time, he's sprayed poison gas on us with a drone. He's flown a drone over. And when people start dying, they'll be able to say anything. Mm-hmm. Martians are spraying us with poison gas, just like War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
It's all given thing. If
it's a disease, if people are sick, they don't go out. So so that's another lockdown by stealth. And then you've got the issues with petrol going up. So people aren't going to go out because they can't afford to fill their car with petrol.
Yep.
It will be empty. The pubs will be empty. The restaurants will be empty.
The pubs that didn't close down because of COVID destruction, you're talking about. What's left of them, except for your, what's that one we were talking about last time I spoke to you?
Weatherspoons.
Weatherspoons will be fine, but everyone else is gone. Now I've been picking up and I'll bring this up because I stuffed it up. What Dave brought up, which I totally, it just rang my bell when I heard that, when he said it. He's, because I've been on about the six planet alignment and the blood moon timing. And he pointed out that the one planet that was not in that alignment we just had was Mars. That was on the Earth type of, it's kind of how he explained it. And that's God of War. So war would start that six-planet alignment. Yeah, right. The next one is on, now I stuffed this up on Last Be Told. The next one is due on August the 12th, I think it is. Give it a day or two, but I think it's August the 12th. I said April, but it's not. It's August. And the next alignment, the one planet that is not going to be in that alignment, Mars is up there. The one on the ground will be Venus, which is the love the love planet. But and that will signal, that will signify, as he said, this the solution that's going to be offered. It'll be a false solution. It'll be someone that comes and offers look, everything's gone to chaos. I'm here to fix things up. That's the person or thing or entity or whatever that will arrive on August the 12th. Now, we're talking about 4 months' time. Is it 5 months' time? You're 5 months' time to August, roughly 4.5 months' time. So we're going to go through Australia, New Zealand, America, all those other countries suffering from this energy crisis for another 4.5 months. Now, what they've done in the last 3 weeks is already scary. So we're looking at things getting momentously worse. Diesel just went up another 20 cents today. This afternoon, from when I filled up, topped up, so it's gone up another 20 cents. So it's going up 20 cents a time. So that farms use and developers use diesel tractors and machinery. Yep. And these people are just... they cannot run effectively without good quality diesel, which was coming out of
It's potentially massive.
And as soon as I saw Keir Starmer, this is last year, I think, whenever he came out, I said, "This is the guy that's going to fuck England up completely."
Big time!
Everything about him
in there in the first place. Yeah.
His name, I said it's too coincidental. It's like Keir Dullea that played on the movie Kubrick's 2001 Space Odyssey. It's got that kind of Keir name, Starmer, it's a star. Mm. I said, it's got coding to me that this guy's the bad guy. And I'm getting this whole V for Vendetta, V for Vendetta revolution in the UK. And obviously, we've got Donald Trump. And look, it fails to surprise me how many people still think this guy is there to help you.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, it's silly, isn't it? He's not there. He's there to destroy. That's what they're put there for.
Well, he's going to be the fall guy. He's like the Hitler of the future for America Everyone's just going to remember. Because people already, when I talk to people, are going, fucking Donald Trump's destroying. You know, I can't afford to put me feel up. Man. Mm. It's always, they're always blaming Donald Trump or even Bibi Netanyahu. They're both getting blamed here. But these are the guys that are going to be the fall guys. Plus they've engineered the shortages in a country this country where I live should never have a food shortage. It should never happen, but it's happening. Mm. It's happening.
Yeah.
Now you need to shout out what's your show that you've been, you've been at the PCR show, which is on,
yes. Yep. Done some good
give
shows.
It a plug.
Critical Sinker has been on
critical
there.
Critical Sinker, sure.
Panic Master and, What Do You Know? So we've done some good shows.
Yes,
about
excellent.
culture creation and bits and bobs. So hopefully we're gonna resurrect those soon and have a chat. Some good information there. So
good voices. Yeah, that's good stuff. You need it. As I said, just plug away because happens.
Covering some good topics. So we'll get those shared. And I think at the moment we got the World Cup is in July in America, Mexico, and Canada.
Big story.
That is the greatest sporting event. You know, the bread and circuses sporting event. Probably would just even possibly bigger than the Olympics, isn't it? Let's be honest.
I know people. I've witnessed when the World Cup. But I've been in pubs because we've got a lot of expat Poms. I'll just say that in Australia, these guys spend the entire. Until England gets knocked out, it is until England's not roaming around drunk in pubs, going on about the game, particularly the Manchester's.
They love it. They love it. But so if there's any disruption to that World Cup, I think things are going to be bad for the rest of the year. And
well, that's interesting what you should bring up, because that's why I said that this is not, so far we haven't seen mad panic buying and stuff in shops as yet. It's because it has, this war has not at all affected the rugby league, AFL in Victoria, which is a religion of a level I have seldom seen in Victoria. That's all they can talk about. We've got nothing's been affected, so all the dummies, and I shouldn't mean, but that's how I refer to them as.
Yeah.
Nothing matters to them other than their team's allotment of which games and who they're playing.
Yeah.
But same once here. It does affect them, look, COVID, they shut down rugby league. And do you remember what they were doing? They were filling the stadiums up with cardboard faces to make
cardboard
it look like
people. Yeah. Same here. Crazy, isn't it crazy that happened in this, you know, all over the world? It's like it wasn't planned at all. You know, we're the same here. Cardboard cutouts in the crowd.
That's
crazy.
Lockstep. Operation Lockstep.
So if that doesn't go ahead or that's disrupted, then
that's going to be big.
You know, it's either going to go either way. It's either all the war is going to be forgot about. You know, come the football and it's, you know, happy days.
When that starts, I'm telling you now, Brazil. Which is one of the biggest cities in the world, Chile, not so much America, but maybe they're into it now because that idiot imbecile's over there. And he, just remember that he was at the World Economic Forum speaking. Mm-hmm. You know, what's his soccer player's name? You know, David Posh Beckham. Spice's husband?
Yeah, Beckham, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beckham. Now, what a coincidence. Mm-hmm. Why would he be at the World Economic Forum? There's a there.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you know, he spoke. I mean, you know, I was thinking that I was going over there to do this.
He's an idiot.
If that guy could actually string three words together, he would have been a film star because he actually has got the looks. But when he opens his mouth up, everything goes out the window. Everything goes out the window.
And one of the most overrated footballers ever.
Do you think? I don't follow it. Do you think? Because he certainly was. Yeah.
terrible player. And how he got to where he was, I do not know. There's something going on in the background to get him to that level of fame. And now he's here. Now he's a knight of the realm.
I know. Can you imagine a knight, if you asked to be, if you're a damsel in distress, and he turned up and goes, I'm just going to, there's a dragon over there. I'm going to try and save you. And it's like, oh, please. Yeah.
I know. I'm trying to be positive and think that the World Cup, the bread and circuses might save us, but who knows? It could be disruptions. You know, if the cost of flights go up because of the fuel shortages and stuff, people can't afford to go there. And I know people have spent thousands of pounds to, because Scotland have qualified for the World Cup.
They have,
first time in 30 odd years, and they're spending thousands of pounds to go and watch them.
Yeah, thousands of pounds. They've already paid their tickets, etc.
Yeah,
Emu Dance has popped into the room. If you want to come in, there's no problem. Just pop in. She just popped in and popped out again.
Yeah, go for it.
She's probably got a baby screaming in the background or something or other. She had to rush off.
Yeah,
I've been there. I've been there and done that. But this is an absolute crucial thing. What happens with the World Cup will be how England, or Europe, and Brazil and places like that, Chile, Uruguay, France, they are very much affected by this game. It is the World Game. There's no doubt whatsoever. As predicted and said by the what's that guy that did the Dr. Day things, he said the round ball will be the biggest game ever, and it is. China, Japan, somehow America's into it.
They're getting into it, aren't they?
Well, they've got David Beckham.
He played out there. Yeah, they got, and also as I said, there's the ultimate fighting championship, the UFC, at the White House. I think on the night opening ceremony of the World Cup, the ultimate, you know, at the
UFC.
It's all scripted.
Yeah, this is big. This is something to do. Yeah, this is something to do with what's going to go down. There's no coincidence, because as I said, the majority of people on this planet, sadly today, have been controlled by their sporting views. It's what affects them, and that's what makes them depressed and happy. Not the politics, not geopolitics, not world disasters. It's if their team loses, these people just go into this hot, eat bloody nil. That's the way England goes. Right.
It's the ultimate. It's the ultimate control mechanism, really, of the bread and circuses. So, you know, but
this
then again,
is,
no,
this
no,
is
no,
the
no,
bread and circus.
No one's mentioned, this is the bread. No one's mentioned the Epstein. No one's mentioned the Epstein files for a few weeks, so that's all forgot about.
So obviously that came out just to reiterate to the mad conspiracy theorists that they were actually right, that got them kind of jumping up and down and, they actually are eating babies. That's what you kind of keep hearing, which I've said. I've got my doubts about some of those claims, but lizards are everywhere and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I have to reiterate this. When I talk about my lizards listening, I am not, I'll just repeat this, not talking about the lizard agenda. I actually do have a couple of lizards listening
real life lizards.
And I'm mowing my lawns. I am not referring to the Israeli term of mowing the lawn to get rid of the Palestinians. I actually do go and mow my lawns, and I do love doing it. Just have to reiterate this in case I get accused of being a part of the agenda. Guaranteed. Amy, if you're out there and you can hear, just pop in, because we're not. This is the open channel, particularly for females. Yeah. We just don't get enough of them, unfortunately. Actually, a few listen, but they don't often come on, which is a bit of a shame.
I don't know Emu.
She's great. She's fantastic. She lives just down the road from me. Well, when I say 30 minutes from me. Yeah, no, she'd been listening for 4 years, and she only bravely came on last 3 weeks ago. And I said,
good.
And I've given her the... Yeah, actually, I'll just message her actually while we're talking, cause if she wants to. Because how do I do this? Excuse me for doing this. Is totally
on the fly,
off the cuff. There you go. Hang on. So pop. Sorry, I spelled pop wrong. In.
Yeah. Anyway, so did you hear me talking about? What do you think about the Nora Lydon thing that I was talking about?
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation.
Or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Betold 59, I think it is. Without the buzzing, that you, I hope to God what I said for about maybe 60 minutes prior to Martha turning up, I mean, pulling my microphone out. Don't be rude. I mean, pulling my microphone literally out of my phone. Hopefully it got recorded. But anyway, we're talking about the World Cup and the sporting conspiracy, because I'm telling you, sport has been introduced as a major social controller, guaranteed. And the fact that, Beckham was at the World Economic Forum and the last thing, that there is a there, something is going to be something to do with, something big is going to happen with this World Cup. Because he's obviously been offered large tracts of land and money and fame and possibly a voice transplant, if there's such a thing. Because he needs one.
Well, he is in the Epstein files, so he's named in that along with everybody. Yeah, hello. Oh, yeah. Along with everybody else. So make of that what you will.
He's too stupid to do anything nefarious. I really don't.
Yeah. He probably is.
Hello. Oh, going up there. I forget it. I could imitate him every now and then. And Posh, she's as dumb as him. You know, like as far as getting intelligent conversation out of the woman.
Oh, God.
A whole lot of those girls, actually, the whole of the Spice Girls, I think Sporty Spice would be the only one I think that could actually hold a conversation.
And
even though she was Sporty Spice, which is usually the dumbest people I know.
Yeah, strange old Nora. So before the break, you mentioned Nora Lydon, did you?
Nora Lydon, yeah. So I'd never got into that whole thing, and I knew Nora was his wife, and I knew he lost her last year, and it's very sad. But I didn't realise how rich she was. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she was a duchess or something, wasn't she? Or
she was kind of like, what was that woman who got kidnapped, the Hearst? Patty Hearst. She was up there with like a Patty Hearst character, even though she didn't get kidnapped by a group of terrorists and turned into a whatever that story was about. But she was from a really, really, really powerful German or industrial thing.
Her dad owned the German newspaper, I think, didn't he? I think.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Yeah,
which is very interesting, because the story about John Lydon when he was young. Now meningitis is I'll just have to say this: meningitis is a real or whatever they call meningitis. It's a swelling of the brain, usually by a parasite. It's parasitic, and he had some form of meningitis or something like that when he was a child, where he was hospitalized for a large amount of his childhood, and he lost his memory while he was sick. And when he kind of got back healthy again, he realized that he had to say everything because he couldn't remember things. So he had to say things that came into his head. Right, Rollo. Almost uncannily, did he have that meningitis? I'm not sure. But so John Lydon had this thing. We just has to, if it comes into his head, he says it. And he was the one that, on the BBC brought up that Jimmy Savile was up to no good, and he'd heard all the stories, This is 1977, he said.
Yeah.
Said that. Mm-hmm. When the general public was never warned about him till he died.
Yep.
As far as I ever heard.
I mean, it was just terrifying.
And there was lots of innuendo. Yeah, there was rumors and innuendo, but it was.
Now then. Yeah. You know, yeah. Constantly now then, which is again, that's spellcraft, because that's now and then. It changes your subconscious.
Oxymoron.
It's an oxymoron. Yeah. But he said it all the time. Plus, as what's his name? One of my favorites, the Irish guy, what's his name? Was it William? No, whatever his name. The one was also on Alan Watts' show. He said, "Watch the way he holds his cigar. It's his wand. He waved it, like, you know, because a wizard or a witch or whatever has to have a kind of a thing. When you're putting something into someone's brain, you need something to focus on, and his cigar was his wand, so to speak."
Mm.
It is definitely a there with that guy. I mean, he was up to good.
Oh yeah, but he was a nobody, wasn't he? Really, he had no talent, really.
None. That's how he used to call his mother the Duchess. So, and he was the seventh son of a seventh son. He used to always say that, you know, which is another sign of a witch or a warlock or whatever. The seventh son is always going to be the most powerful. With some kind.
Yeah, he had no talent. He was a DJ, a wrestler.
He
was a wrestler, yeah, back in the day.
Oh, no, he was. No, you're 100%.
And all of a sudden he's, you know, he's the man, isn't he? He's the face of everything for a while.
Yeah. Do you remember, you're 50-ish, aren't you?
Yeah. Nearly 50, yeah, 77.
Nearly 50, okay, all right. Well, there used to be a magazine called Look In magazine in the 70s, right?
Yep.
It was the entertainment, young people's magazine. And I remember I used to get it because it was because of the amount of English in New Zealand, mate, we may as well be in England with our comics that we were given. You know, they were all English. And, you know, some American stuff as well. But I remember, I used to be able to get Look In magazine and read the TV and wish that we had more than one, because we only had one TV channel back then. And I remember looking and going, what's this Jimmy Will Fix It? Because this Savile was on not this one show. He was on multiple shows. Mm-hmm. At Top of the Pops, he was a host. He was at Jim Will Fix It.
Radio DJ. He was
radio DJ. He was a mega star in England in the '70s and eighties, I guess.
Oh, yeah, it was.
When I saw some actual clips, and I was thinking, how the fuck could that guy be? You know, around kids, you know, just his bulgy eyes and his, you know, weird things he said. And
it looks like the child catcher out of
You could easily just swap those two over.
Yeah. And
that was Childcatcher came from James Bond creator, Ian Fleming.
Oh, Ian Fleming. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he had the keys to the kingdom, didn't he? He had the keys to Buckingham Palace.
He bragged that he could just, and one of the interviews is him, he said, he came in, he just drove in the back door at Buckingham Palace, walked through the back doors, and he's chatting away to Prince Philip. And he had a young girl with him. And he's got saying, and I said, do you want me to introduce him? I'll introduce you to him. And there was Prince Philip, and he was introducing a young girl to Prince. And now, look, when you look back on that, you go, what the fuck was that about?
Yes. And he was the marriage counsellor to Diana and Charles.
Can you imagine that guy's your marriage counsellor? I'll just say that. Yeah. No wonder, whatever happened to her. And no, I do not believe she became Elton John's husband. That's what they say.
That's out there. Jungle Surfer. Yeah, I've seen that. But yeah, I mean, that was, yeah. I mean, she, whatever happened to her, I don't know.
Well, I hazard a guess that she was, you know, getting involved with a Muslim and had to go, but, you know,
Can I just say, just as an aside, Dodi Fayed was a film producer, wasn't he? I didn't realise that. And he produced a film.
Called,
he produced a film called FX, Murder by Illusion. I don't know if you've seen that film, which is actually quite a good
Brown.
Film.
It is with Brian Brown. I should watch that again, actually.
Yeah, it's good. Brian Dennehy, I think. And yeah, is it the New Zealand or the Australian actor in it? But that was a film about
faking deaths faking and stuff.
Hey,
that's a murder
interesting. And special effects. So
yeah, well, FX with Brian Brown, who have I met? Yeah. I'll tell you what, his wife and his daughter was a bar woman at the pub I used to drink at. What's her name? Rosie. There's two of them. They are absolutely beautiful. And his wife, who was starred in one of my favourite movies with Steve Martin, the Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid, Rachel Ward. Yeah. I see them roaming. I see her all the time roaming around. She is still gorgeous. Still gorgeous. But that's interesting because that movie, FX, that fits in with all those other movies that we got back in the 60s, like Blow Up. The other one that, you know, there's about three. One's about the Gene Hackman, you know, about sound recordist or someone filming an assassination.
FX could
be up there with all that. And I'll tell you now, you do not hear people talking about that. So no. Good stuff. Man. 10 out of, I'll give you a 12.
Dodie Fired was the producer of that film, which is
strange. Well, there you go.
He participated in his own Murder by Illusion, didn't he? So, strange at least.
Yeah. As I said, I'm the one that's. I am suggesting that a lot of these guys, particularly Robert Maxwell, fake their own death. Particularly Maxwell's one. They involve water. If it involves water and a rebirth, it's just a rebirth. You know, and he's Robert Maxwell. Yeah. And he got a Spanish death certificate. That's my thing. Do they have a Spanish death certificate? Because that's some kind of Catholic Templar way of just, you know, exiting your straw man and going into a real man. That, you know, your new identity. And I mean, people said, "Oh, you know, Maxwell's a big guy." I said, "Have you been to London? Have you been to an expensive hotel? The people that are roaming around have fucking headgear on." You know, the Arabs, you couldn't tell who was under there.
You wouldn't know. No, you would not know. You wouldn't.
They're going to be coming backwards and forth.
Yeah, 100%. That's a murder at sea, isn't it? So that all ties in with the maritime law.
That's what I'm getting at.
Your straw man.
It's like a rebirth. It's a rebirth, like birthing the boat and a rebirth.
Yeah.
If they die at sea, there's some kind of way of just, and same with the guy, Jimi Hendrix's manager was in a plane crash. The guy that was an MI6 agent, Hendrix got, you know, murdered by, and I'm telling you, the guy is not around anymore. If he was, I've never heard him play a single note on a guitar, and it's certainly not that actor they keep saying looks like him, because he doesn't look like him. Morgan Freeman.
No. Morgan Freeman.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a load of old cobblers, I'd be told. But his manager, Michael, whatever his name is, who they reckon poured the vodka, he had red wine, so much red wine in the system, just like Kurt Cobain had so much heroin in the system, there's no way he could have picked up a shotgun to stick it in his mouth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There is no doubt that Hendrix's manager, and get this, disappeared. He was on a plane and it just disappeared and there's no record of finding any of the bodies or whatever. Mm. Now, I've seen what these special forces intelligence types can do. They've all got friends that work in airports and stuff like that. And I watched the guy one day when it was the head of PepsiCo America. This is big job I was on with all these famous people. And this special air service guy uses mobile phone, rang Heathrow to find out, because his friend was in charge of security at Heathrow, to find out where Concorde was, because this guy wanted to get back, because this is exactly at the same time, Bill Clinton was in court and owning up to being Monica Lewinsky stuff. And this guy, this PepsiCo guy, who looked like a gangster, they all do up the top, They looked like gangsters. And he was walking around with a little, he had an AM radio to his ear, and he was listening intently to what was going on because he was, and he looked really concerned. And this, his bodyguard, personal bodyguards, just rang up Heathrow and said, you know, it's, and we, can we get it diverted to here? Because they wanted him to get back to America. Now, that would mean that you could actually probably get your name onto the airline, even if you weren't on that airline. And say that airline had an accident or whatever. You were gone, and you just rebirth, and you've come back as a different person somewhere else. It is totally possible.
Of course, I've seen it with my own eyes. Yeah,
100%.
Michael Jeffrey was the manager.
Michael Jeffrey. Michael Jeffrey. Look into his death. Death is totally mysterious. Mysterious.
Born in Peckham in South London, so not far from me. Yeah, he died in a mid-air collision.
Was he?
Died in a mid-air collision in France, 1973, on a Spanish flight, Iberia Airlines, DC-9.
I hate to be a conspiracy theorist and say I'm right, but it was a Spanish death certificate with Michael Jeffrey.
On a Spanish plane. I've never heard of him before, actually. But,
you know, what happened to Hendrix? They said it was drugs, but he was found with so much red wine. And he was, I'll just say this, he was not a red wine drinker. He could squirt LSD into his mouth, like with a dropper that you'd meant to have a drop, he'd squirt it in his mouth.
Yeah.
He was never a drinker. And his stomach was so full of red wine when they did the autopsy, they said that's really unusual. But did you ever hear that on the media? They just said, no, it was a drug overdose.
Yeah,
no. And his girlfriend Monica died mysteriously just after, you know, a little bit later. But look, this is high level stuff that you never hear people talking about.
I never heard that. You heard it here, be told.
This is not the first time I've talked about this before. I'm pretty sure I have to have surely. But my thing is Spanish death certificates. Did he have a Spanish death certificate? Was he involved? Was he anywhere in Italy, or was there some kind of Catholic?
Died over France. He's actually buried in a cemetery where I grew up.
I'd like to go and dig that up because I'd say it's empty.
I know the cemetery where it's buried. That's strange. Next time I'm there, I'll go and have a look. But.
Just go and prod around and see if you can see anyone in there.
I'm joking, obviously, but that's interesting, isn't it? He worked for the intelligence corps.
He was MI6. MI6. Same with what's his name? Robert Maxwell was MI6 and Mossad.
Double, and
I didn't realize the amount of trouble that guy had got into prior to ripping off his employees. And if you read the book, look, Alan Watt used to go on about this particular story, and I totally believe it, that when they were having soirees on the building in London where, Maxwell's company was, he would just walk, when he was drinking, he'd just walk over to the side of the building and urinate off the side of the building. So he's like pissing on the public and laughing away. Like it was just cool. And the cleaners... And I sympathise with the cleaners, so I've got empathy for cleaners. They reckon that he wouldn't use toilet paper; he'd just use the silk towels in his bathroom to wipe his bum and leave them on the floor. So the cleaners had to pick it up. That's the kind of psychopath that is running as in politics and big business. They actually hate the public.
They do. All psychopaths, don't they? You got to be a psychopath to get that far. You have to.
Yeah, sorry, and it's Thomas Sheridan I was thinking before.
Thomas Sheridan, I know you mean,
His stuff on, he's fantastic. I haven't looked into any of his latest stuff, but his stuff on, sorry, I'm making some noise with it. His stuff on, Jimmy, you'll fix it, Jimmy Savile, is second to none. And because he's, Sheridan is right into the occult and knows his stuff.
Yeah.
But he knows his stuff. So when he was pointing out the way Savile would bring out now then, and just say that, I was right. I was going bang. That's 100%. And then waving his great big cigar that he always held onto as a point to kind of as a hypnosis, basically what he was doing.
Yeah. All the gold jewelry and all that. It was a complete.
Check out that gold jewelry around his neck. There's a top of the pops with Alvin Stardust singing Red Dress, which is another kind of weird kind of witchcraft code, I do believe.
Yeah.
Just have a look at the necklace he's wearing around his neck, and it's a pentagram. It's still on YouTube. Hey, this has been fantastic. You're listening to Retold after the break.
Truthmeets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the support link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the support link.
Truthmeets.com would like to thank our major supporters this month. Rolo, Susie, and Henrik. Thank you all.
Hey, thank you very much to Joel's Bumpers. This is Be Told episode number, I think it's 59. Not sure. I think it's 59. We'll say that. And it's on the 25th of March, 2026. Doing some amazing stuff with Martha from Scotland. Fantastic. And so you obviously aren't working today, or are you about to go to work?
I'm at my desk in inverted commas. I've got the laptop on, but I'm just jiggling my mouse a little bit. So same as everybody else. So I've got some spare time. So I'm always happy to jump in.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, well, did I do Wednesday last week? Wednesdays is quite good for me, and I'm trying to do more than less for the truthmeets.com. And
I'm just going to give another plug to the Post Conspiracy Refuge chat we've done, the podcast.
Is that what it stands for? PCR.
It does.
Post Conspiracy Refuge.
PCR. Okay. Post Conspiracy Refuge. So we've got some good chats on there. More than welcome to join us 1 week, Rick, if you want to come over for a chat.
Absolutely. But yeah, so where do you find these? Even though, guess what? What I did is just loaded it up and it's come onto my podcast addict.
Yes, there'd be a way to do that. I will share them. I know.
Yeah, put it onto Truth Meets show. Oh, I think you already have anyway. It's on live stream show notes or whatever.
Yeah, I'll put them in there.
But well worth listening to because a good crew there. And Sean,
yeah, I think so.
Critical Thinker. Is he still in Australia or is he back in Italy?
No, he's in Australia.
Like?
He's in Australia, but he was saying the same as you. I mean, he's feeling the pinch a little bit, and I think he might be making some plans to come back to Europe. I think, but that's no. I take these videos on YouTube with a pinch of salt. But one of the European countries, I think it might be Slovenia or Latvia, they're talking about having lockdowns.
They're talking about lockdowns in Sydney. It's already being talked about. Yeah. So this is not, when I say this is not conspiracy theorist conversation. This is what the media is telling the public that's coming is lockdowns. So,
and they've been trained to accept lockdowns because they've done it for 3 or 4 years in 2020, didn't they?
Can I just tell you, I need to reiterate this. The public, the general public loved not going to work. And not having to go, that they loved it, and they want another one. They're getting homesick for COVID lockdowns. Mm. Not me. I'm talking about the general public.
No. The general public. So that now they're kind of being, I don't know what you might see it more so than me. Well, you know, as a par, you know, are the offices getting busier? Are you seeing more people back?
No. I do talk when I'm in Sydney on Fridays. When I'm driving, which I can't do anymore at the moment, but when I drive in there at 4 o'clock in the after 4:30 in the afternoon, I drive right into the CBD of Sydney from the Balmain or wherever I am. The traffic was dead all since COVID. It's never been crowded, so people are still working from home, and definitely choosing Fridays for that day.
Yeah, I mean it's the same here. I mean where I work. we're being encouraged to come back into the office 2 days a week, but no one's doing it. So yeah, Mondays and Fridays are dead.
Now this COVID was the all giving thing to destroy the office workers. If you have the ability to work from home, right? Why wouldn't you? You know, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
but
no, 100%.
So I work for two leading architects in Australia. It's my biggest jobs that I've still got. And they were really up, the directors were really pissed off about that because even though they had vaccine, you know, booking back, you know, vaccine signs everywhere and, you know, but they were not happy. So they've made their staff come back because they want to sit above them because that's what they do. There's a row of desks above their employees and they look down on them, but they want to be there to make sure they're actually working. Cause I know for a fact, and I actually know all the rank and file of that staff. They were always telling me, you know, we were meant to be doing this, but we're out surfing or doing this and, you know, having a great time. Yeah, you know, but they go home and do hard work, but they work into the night. They often didn't want to work during the day.
Yeah, they just change their – yeah, we all do it. They just change the way you work, don't you? Say some people work for the night, some people, you know, work for early days. But
you know for a fact, as a person that works in an office environment, now I have never done that except when I was doing security occasionally. I'd have to go in there. There'd be a bomb threat in an office and – I had to go and, God knows what I was going to do, but I'd go and have to go and sit next to a secretary or something, which is always quite fun. And and I'd work under fluoro light. And I remember saying to them, like, how can you sit in here? You know, with these lights, you know, the fluoro lights are really unhealthy for you. I'll say this for the be told audience out there. They're full of PCBs, which is a really toxic thing that they produce. This is the, you know, not sodium vapor lamp, but it's the fluoro LED. Lamp. LED. Yeah. No, before LED was worse. No. LED's bad, yes, really bad. It's blue light. Before that was the normal fluoro light that you go black on the ends, kind of when they're about to go. That stuff that's black is a fluorocarbon or whatever it is. It's a PCB, they call it. Extraordinarily toxic. Plus the flicker rate. I could do a day here and there, but I could never ever work in an office. I've always worked outside labouring rather than doing that and being in the sun and working out type of thing, getting paid for it.
Offices are not healthy. Are not healthy places to work, and that caused sickness. And again, people blame non-existent viruses and all that crap. But yeah,
this is the thing I used to notice. I go in because I know because I have to empty rubbish bins, so I understand that I'm like a Columbo when it comes to how many people are sick in an office, because I have to roam around when I do a couple of offices, roam around, they got desk bins underneath their desks, and I zoom around emptying them into a big bag, and you suddenly see one person would have tissues in this thing. The next time I visited, five of them would have it. The next time I was in there, 10 people would have it. So there's there's some kind of electromagnetic toxin that starts spreading in offices
You got Wi-Fi, you got EMFs, you got, you know, computer screens. EMF,
sure.
Yeah, it's not a healthy place. So you're right, yeah. Everyone's working. Now I just wonder with the possible impending issues with the energy lockdowns, whether, you know, it's just another incentive to work at home, isn't it? So.
Well, they're actually saying that on the media. So I'm watching social media, even though I shouldn't be on it because it does stress me sometimes to see what's going down, that they are telling you that there's going to be lockdowns and there's going to be food shortages. And, but, you know, if the Prime Minister's telling you this, the general public believes it. Emu, if you want to pop in, if you're muted, you stay muted if you want to, but just pop in any time you want.
Please pop in.
Yep.
Hey, guys. Sorry to interrupt.
Hello. You're not interrupting. Wait, fantastic.
Not interrupting.
How's it going?
Hey, Martha. How are you?
Hello. Yeah, good, thanks. Yeah, good to meet you.
Yeah, you too. Sorry, I've missed the whole start of the show, guys, so I don't know what you're talking about.
We're talking about working in offices and how unhealthy it is for you at the moment. I don't know what did you have a career or have you, you know, what have you been doing it's for money.
I used to work. Nothing too serious though. But since the baby, I won't.
And do not start. You need to be there. And fuck that childcare thing off.
I was only talking to my mum about that today, how the daycare children, how unwell they are. Like it's shocking. Like,
can I explain to you apart from the fact we had to have them vaccinated before they were allowed to go to childcare, otherwise they're not going. You've got to find, there's up in Port Macquarie, there's a couple of natural places you can go to that don't require mandatory vaccines. But what they do, these poor little children, is they smear them with sunblock of the cheapest, unhealthy kind you've ever seen in your life, and they make them wear hats when they go outside. And yeah, I was like, it's like, you know, sun is so good for you, but it encourages all these amazing things to your health. They block it. They've got big vets. They've got these well-meaning idiots that are employed, getting quite well paid as childcare attendants. That, come on, come over here, darling. And they smear them with this fucking, like,
smelling sunscreen. Oh, it's awful. Well, my baby has a suntan, so you guys will be happy to know.
I'm happy to.
Yeah,
I'm happy to hear that.
I think I'm right in saying that Australia has the highest rate of sunblock usage and the highest rate of skin cancer. So
work it out. And the other thing is, like, a lot of the allergies and things like that come through them being rubbed with this. Just look up the ingredients in sunblock, that, you know, your cheap ones. I'm not talking about zinc. You can get a zinc one that Elle Macpherson used to mark,
yeah,
which
zinc
I do.
Oxide is good. Yeah,
yeah, if yeah, no it's problem whatsoever.
High percentage of that, it's good.
Yeah, but what they're doing. So when you drop them off, it was funny that my youngest, he was the most like me. He was just a total rebel. You know, he would fake anything to get out of this going to childcare. And one day, the funniest thing, because I remember thinking, you are just like me. And I dropped him off, and he's like crying and carrying on. And, you know, I left him there, and he was like, came to the gate, like the, it looked like those, the little, that film, the boy in the striped pajamas, when they're staring out of their gate, you know, in a concentration camp with big sad faces. And he was doing that to me, and I was like, well, you know, it made me feel terrible. Yeah. Anyway, I drove away, and then I suddenly remembered, I forgot to drop off his bottle or whatever he had. And I walked in there, and there he is talking to all his friends, like laughing, and, you know, and then he looked around and he spotted me the corner of his eye, and he just dropped on the floor and started crying. He's like, you know, he was hating everything, but he loved it. But they smear them. They will not let them outside without a hat. And I reckon about half an inch of toxic poison over their faces and arms, which has got to be bad for them. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, 100%. It's garbage.
Not good, is it? It's not healthy. The sun is.
Well, look. To be honest, if you come from Lithuania or you know, a country that's got, you know, 2 months of sunlight a year, the sun is not. Or you got ginger hair. Sometimes it is harsh in this country, but there are safer things than the majority of these sunblocks that you can use. Zinc's one of them, which has been used since I was a kid. You know, you had zinc block and you could put it on your nose if you got a burnt nose.
Yeah.
But the ones that they're putting on these childcare centres are cheap, heavy metals, really, really toxic, really toxic.
It's just and the smell of them, you can tell it's no good. It's like it smells bad.
Yeah, it's got peanut oil, which is apparently not good for you to have rubbed on your body as well. Apparently, it's like a seed oil.
Yeah.
So things like that. You just got to find a natural cheap form of it. If they've got sensitive skin, I do agree that you know put a hat on them possibly, because that does get hot.
Midday sun's no good. Like obviously, if you're lighter skinned, you know.
No.
You got to look at your background and where you're supposed to be geographically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you've got blood, if you're Swedish or, you know, from countries like that, even though the most Swedish people I know go browner than...
They really do tan.
It's unbelievable.
But maybe that's diet-related. Perhaps they're a bit healthier over there.
Oh, possibly. Possibly. It could be a thing. I totally agree. But, yeah, no, you've got to look after these kids that are just being put into this because, you know, normally... The mother has to go to work to help pay the mortgage, or to pay for the food. So both of you are working, and I went through that. I mean, but luckily because of my job, I could come home, I could work at four in the morning, do 3 hours, come home, and spend time, you know, while she went and did her work, and then go and work in the evening. So we had a good situation going on. But most people just drop their kids off at childcare, and it's so sad to see, you know, these poor little kids, you know, that should be with their mother.
My husband's, we're both really against daycare. So he just said, well, I'll just do whatever I can to make sure that you can stay home with the baby.
Oh, what a good husband. I'd hang on to him.
He's a keeper.
Yeah, he's a good bloke. I'm very lucky.
But that's
also why we left Sydney, because he said, like, if you want to do it this way, we just have to go somewhere where it's cheaper to live. So that, I think that's a perfectly reasonable compromise, which I was happy with.
I totally agree, because you know that the rents in the northern beaches... Oh. Joel's putting some clapping in there. another fantastic show on a Wednesday. Is it Wednesday night? Yeah, it's Wednesday night. Fantastic. So, you know, it's 100% true, though. But unfortunately what happens is sometimes you have to put them into the childcare centres, but there are ones that I found out, because I've got friends here that are 100%, you know, zero vaccine, whatever. They've homeschooled their children, and they found one in Port Macquarie. I forget what it's called, but I can find out. The kids spend 3 or 4 hours outside. They do stuff. They're not pushed into doing, you know, reading and writing at that age, because you shouldn't. You should be... having a fun time. And there are places that you can take them to, but I don't know about one in Taree, you know, but highly likely. But yeah, do whatever you can do to be the mother, to look after them till at least five when they have to, sadly, unless you home educate them. But I don't, look, to be honest, I think sending them to school is not a bad thing. They socialize.
I think it depends on the school. I think if we do the schooling thing, it will be later, and it'll be private. Like, it'll be a private Christian school. Yep. I don't trust this.
Well, you know, Port's got several really good ones.
Yeah, I'm gonna put him down for that. A few, and there's another one in Tyree that's half decent. So. Anyway, I feel like I hijacked the conversation.
It's been fantastic, because I did about 45 minutes, and I possibly did it with a scratchy microphone with bees buzzing around. And then I pulled out the microphone, so I'm just talking straight into my phone, so it's not buzzing like a bee. And we've just had a good conversation with Martha from Scotland. And who's, I don't know if you've heard him before, but he's been on the few Be Tolds in the
back. Yeah, I have.
It's fabulous, because Emu Dance has been on listening for 4 years before she made an appearance, which is, you know, you should have done it earlier.
No time like the present.
Exactly. Hey, totally agree.
So, Emu, I hate to use that term, awake, but did the COVID pandemic thing really wake you up to a lot of stuff, or was you
I was on to stuff before then. It probably took me a couple of weeks to realize the corona thing is garbage.
Joel's in the back. I can hear the Joel. Sorry.
But no. I've always been this way inclined. Not always, but since I was probably, I don't know, 19 or so.
Right.
Always suspicious on stuff, you know, like you just Yeah. I never really took, couldn't take things how, like, you know, how they were told. I was always thinking blah, blah, blah. But then, yeah, as you get. Sounds are going off.
But hey, I have to say this, Emu, that I've always felt that the Northern Beaches area is a completely different area to East Sydney. All of the other areas. I've always felt comfortable there. And I remember going to Narrabeen when the first time I'm talking in the 80s, where, you know, Golden Sands, it was just different. There's nothing like the Manly I've discovered has got a nice beach there, but it was more that you're listening to Beach Hole.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
BTOL 50.
It's 9 a.m. here.
BTOL 59. Yeah, hey, BTOL 59. On the 25th of March, 2026. Martha, thank you so much for coming in, because we did some really good stuff there.
No problem. Really good time, Emu. It's good to meet. Hopefully we'll speak again.
I'm sure
like
you will.
Yeah, 9 a.m. here, so I'm going to have to go and pretend to do a little bit of work. You're putting your feet up, so good luck to you all. And, yeah, stay cool, and I'll speak to you all soon.
Thanks, Martha, and then PCR. The PCR show on the whatever.
Yep.
Fabulous.
See you later.
Thank
bye. Bye, 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 bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, 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 bye. Fantastic. That was great. That was fantastic. Good to hear, Martha. Yeah, Emu, the most important things, though, is, you know, you're obviously aware, but it's keeping mother and father involved with their rearing and the least amount of useless idiots that are working in the childcare and teachers even.
Oh, I
and
know.
It's a thing.
I was a while back, a couple of years ago, I dropped my nieces off. I looked after them for a weekend or whatever. I had to take them to care on the Monday morning, whatever. Yep. And I took her there or whatever, and I just thought, I looked at the teachers and I was like, these are just 19-year-olds that have probably been on the drugs all weekend.
Yes.
And what? It's just a job to them. You know, and I'm thinking, and then
yeah, no, it's a job to them, and they're not parents, and they don't have that gene that cares about the future. They're just there to earn their money, and they're getting paid quite well to do this job, for sure. And some of them are great, but they're very immature. And like you heard me talking about that lot from heading to Coffs Harbour, that was sitting behind me on the last Be Told show I did. I had a, you know, 20, 16-year-olds maybe behind me and four of the teachers, and I was just listening to the conversations and the teachers were the ones that concerned me more than the pupils. I was just going, you are stupider than your pupils, because the pupils were at least, you know.
One of us.
The pupils at least had their own minds and were talking about different things, but the teachers are, oh, you know, oh, guess what we're doing on Tuesday, guys? It's, you know, we're going to get vaccinated. And I was like, oh, you fucking, yeah. And I was like, I just want, as I said, I'm already I'm repeating, but I wanted to turn around and say, which one of you four are fucking teachers and which one are you, you know, because you're all stupider than your pupils. Because they were stupid and they were talking down to their students instead of talking, you know, like in a normal adult voice.
Yeah.
And about stuff. And then they were going, oh, we got to have a special meeting about Ken because I think he might need to be medicated. And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, this went on for 6 hours. I had 6 hours of this on Saturday afternoon. And I wasn't laughing like that, let me just tell you right now. But I'm going to be doing it tomorrow. I'm getting back on the train. I'm not going to get the bus again. I've just decided. I thought I'll get the train on tomorrow, 1:35 or 1:50 from where I live to the Winnies, Sydney. But I'll be doing an imbecile report every Saturday night now. You'll be finding out how many idiots have I had to deal with between here and whatever. But anyway, that's fantastic. So at 7, what is the diet? Are you making all the food? Because that's the other thing I talk about with children. Thank you, Joel.
Thank you, Joel.
He loves his train noises. Rollo's going to be really upset he's not on here.
The winner is Cindy.
He's on fire tonight.
Thank you, Joel. Thank you, Joel. You're doing well. You're doing very well. But yeah, no, so your dietary advice for children, are you making your own food? Because I'm telling you, you lose control eventually and they decide to want McCain's pizzas. Eventually, it will happen in another 10 to 12 years' time. They'll want a McCain's pizza for dinner.
But I'm still nursing, so he mostly still drinks milk. But
yeah, that's good. Yeah, good girl. Good girl. Yep.
He's good, but yeah, he likes his lamb and all that sort of stuff.
I'm telling you, I still have, you know, that thing they call, baby ear or whatever, that you can hear a baby crying.
Yeah, it's phantom cries.
Phantom cries. I still...
Stop it.
If I'm on a job... Joel, you're being disruptive with that cry now because I want to run out and go boil some milk all of a sudden. I still, to this day, hear a baby... I can hear a baby crying over a truck revving up. Type of thing, because that's what you have, this thing called baby ear that goes, because you know they're in a different room, they've got that issue, you know.
I can still
hear them, and it never leaves you. I do not think that baby ear thing ever leaves a parent.
No, I think it's biological.
And he's on fire tonight.
Sure is. How's the petrol up in Port?
I'm not. Thank you. I'll tell you now. I'm proudly not anywhere near Port Macquarie. But I was there. I was there yesterday. But probably about 2:20. It's about 2:25 on near me at Q.
Oh jeez, I put diesel in the truck that my husband's vehicle when he's at work. He's away for work. So I drive his truck because it's better than my little car. Yeah. But so I had to I had to put my own diesel in, which was a tragedy. It was $2.99. That's wild.
Yeah, $2.99 is normal. $2.99 is normal. That's what we're going to get as an average. But you'll notice if you want the cheapest, you go to Woolworths or Coles and they've got a service station attached to them, they're going to be the cheapest because they're going to destroy all of the other ones eventually.
Yeah, independents. Yeah, well, I filled up in Coopernook at that independent. I don't know if you know Coopernook, but...
I'll tell you a funny story this afternoon. I was on Facebook, which I should not be on, but I was on it, on a Port's got something or other site, you know, one of those local sites. And I've seen this woman, female, post the thing saying, this is going to be bad. We need to do something or other, blah, 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 blah. And I looked at the comments and there was all these people going, oh, you should go and stock up on tinfoil then, tinfoil darling, you know, really nasty. So I contacted her and I said, listen, I saw it as a really good post, what you posted, but that site and all, and particularly Camden Heads got, there's Heads Up and they're called Heads Up in Port Macquarie, Heads Up in this area. Some of it's good info about crime, but a lot of it is just bots coming in. And if you suggest something's going on over your head, particularly anyone that mentions the sprays, which, you know, happen left, right and centre, they get attacked. they get attacked. So I sent a DM to her and I said, look, that was a really good post. Yes, we need to do something about that. And anyway, she contacted me. She goes, you want to meet at Coopernook Pub? Because we need to have a discussion because there's so many people that are going to be affected by this? And there is. And I said, because, you know, she said, are you local? And I said, I'm Kent. And I said, Kent, where I am.
Mm.
And she said, you know, do you want to meet in the Coupon pub on Sunday, Saturday? And I said, look, I can't get there Saturday, but I'll do it on Sunday possibly. And anyway, but what I've suggested, I said, people, we need to get five families together. Am I echoing? How did that happen? Five families together and do what I saw happening in Balmain back in the 80s and 90s was a thing called that's the theme to The Godfather, I think. This has got more grabs than the fart podcast, Joel. You're outdoing yourself on this one. Yeah, so anyway, I said we need to do food. So you get five families together, and what you do is this thing called food co-op. And I saw it done where, so basically this is what you do. There's five families. One person, no, four families you need, right? So once a month, one person goes out and goes to growers' markets or wherever you've got bulk buying, and you buy a sack of potatoes, sack of this, you divide it up. You buy it in bulk, so it's going to cost you, it's really cheap to do this. But you only have to do it one day a week of a month to have all your food bought in bulk. You're all paying whatever the cost is, but it costs you almost a quarter of what you were paying if you went to Woolworths. And that is going to be in the future. So I'm going to kind of try and catch up with whoever this chick is, or female. She could be a little old lady. Hopefully she's a really attractive
woman. Yeah, you might find a new wife.
Thank you, Rick.
No, you don't want them. Thank you, Rick. We're not after one of them. Thank you, Donald.
Never know strange things. Know.
Joel is on fire. And, you know, so, but anyway, I'm talking about just food. So basically you buy bulk amounts of stuff and then you one family divide it up to the other four into different bags and baskets, whatever, and they deliver it. It costs you, instead of paying what I'm, like, you know, $80 a fucking bag if you go to Woolworths at the moment. That's what it costs, about $80 a big bag. Or more if you're buying good meat, grass fed or whatever. But you do it and you just buy in bulk and, you know, someone buys it. You find, and I've got the contacts, I'm going to tell you right now, up in Comboyne and places like that, not far from me, and down where you are, and Wingham, you can buy a half a beast, get it chopped up into freeze-dried packs and have all your meat for a whole month for about, you know, $30.
Really? Can you send that to me? Because I'm
about to start. But luckily, because I contacted this lady, she said, or female, she said, look, that's a great idea.
Mm.
Can we start one? So we're going to do it, and she's in Coopernook, right, obviously, or maybe closer to you, I'm not sure. Coopernook was as close as she could be to me. So, but all we need to do is organise small cell family or networks where you have a network of four or five other people, and you only have to do this once a week. Once a month, rather. The next time it's the other person's turn, they go to growers, they buy a sack of carrots, sack of potatoes, sack of onion, sack of whatever, go to one of these places, and I'm telling you, oh, my God, this is one of the highest ratings. This has got to be an Oscar. There has to be a some kind of award for the amount of dings and grabs by Joel. He's on fire. So, yeah, so that's the way you do it. So, you know, I'll get in contact with you and because she's obviously close to you. So she could. So all we need is four of us or five of us. So one day a month you do the shopping, you do the packing, you do the the delivery to the, whoever's closest to you.
Yep.
And then that's it, one day a month. And you buy a big, you know, large amounts of, you know, you can, there's lots of inland private milk places as well. You can get really amazing unpasteurized milk from small batch, you know, between farms that are all about, let me just tell you right now, they're all about. You just got to, you just need to find the contacts, and I'm doing that. I'm starting tomorrow when I start working out the logistics, but that's what we're going to have to do in the future.
Well, let me know if you find any milk people. That'd be good.
I already know. There's a guy called Jimmy's Milk in Wauchope that delivers up and down the coast, and he has got pure milk. He's apparently only like 19, but he's just one of these young people who've just got, he's motivated. And so that cafe I was telling about our last conversation near me in North Haven,
mm-hmm.
so he delivers to them. He also delivers to the health shop in Laurieton, and it's pure milk from his parents' farm in Wauchope.
Oh,
so you can get it. Yeah.
Does that cafe sell it?
No, they sell it. You can go there and buy it. And the health shop in Laurieton, which is absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. They sell it too. So you can make all your stuff. But this is, I'm telling you, if Anthony Albanese and his imbeciles, if they're telling you there's going to be food shortages, there's going to be food shortages.
And yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and they may not be real, but they are going to affect everybody. That they've made the people will start stocking up on this possible toilet paper issues level. You know, it's just the way it's going to be. But yeah, no, I'll keep in contact with you. Absolutely,
yeah, good.
Yep, for sure. And we'll catch up eventually, and What the hell is that noise, Joel? I can't even work. Hey, anyway, fantastic. I'll probably sign off now because I'll have to do a few things.
But yeah, no worries.
Thank you so much for coming on, Emu. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
So I think I'll be doing the Wednesday night midweek show is going to be a thing.
I like Wednesday. It's good. So, I mean, yeah, granted the baby's under control, I can pop on any
moment.
Day, really, actually, yeah.
All right, we'll do so, yeah. And then we're back this Saturday night at the Rick and Rollo show, if he hasn't died in between today and next, whatever. But he sounds pretty good the other day I spoke to him, so all good.
Is he okay? Is he well?
It's like saying is, I don't know how to describe it, but he's, let's just say he's happy and he's sharing things. That's
That's the main thing.
Yeah. His liver's not well. I'll just say that. His liver's crying out for help. Please stop pouring that amount of vodka down my your throat. Thank God. Anyway, we'll end with a song I haven't even thought about. I'll send it to Joel anyway. But thanks to Joel, and thank you so much.
I've done so much coke tonight. Too much coke.
Fantastic. All right, yeah, I'll send Joel a song in its
time. I've had a bottle of blood.
More than that, usually. Three bottles of vodka, actually.
Hey.
All right.
Hey.
Anyway, thanks, Emu. I'll speak to you, and I'll contact you throughout the week and let you know what I'm working out. But we've got to do it. We've got to start doing this. And you're only 30 minutes away. This other one, woman, is only, literally in between me and you. And so if we get five or four people, but I'd say you need five families involved and start a food co-op, CELL, S-A-C-E-L-L. And I've seen it. It works. It's fantastic. You buy in bulk. One person does it one day of the month. That's all you have to do. But you're going to save probably, three quarters of what you were paying out in food.
Yeah, I'm keen to give it a try for sure.
Fantastic. And plus, just remember, John's River and all these areas, there's so many little boutique places where you can go and pick up bags of avocados for a dollar a bag. You know, those honesty boxes, they're a thing. What we're going to have to do, though, is go and speak to the people that own it and say, can we just guarantee you three bags or four bags of avocados?
Yeah, book it in.
Pumpkins and stuff like book it in every week. And I've been doing some research about this stuff, but it's going to be a thing. It's going to save you so much money. I'm down to like one child at the moment. So it's, and when I say child, he's 21 and got bright red hair at the moment. So I don't know how that happened, but it did. but it's much cheaper to feed him at the moment. Thanks, hey Joel. Thank you, Joel. I'll send you the title and the song. But fantastic production. Be told. Oh,
you're so Emu.
Thanks, Emu. I'll say goodbye.
Right. Take care.
Bye, guys. Bye.
See you.
Bye.